I'm glad you're here on time. Amen. I don't know what folks would do. Sometimes they come to church and we got the doors locked and don't leave them open the door till 45 minutes past time to start. They think, boy, what's with my brother Savage? He's we better get another pastor. Well, now, I'll say, ain't out of sight. Well, we're glad for the goodness of God, and we appreciate the Lord. We're glad for the revival we've had this week, Brother Wesley Sewell. He's been a blessing to us, and man, he has preached wonderful, wonderful. Every night just preached outstanding. And we're thankful for the hearts that have been touched. Praise God. And don't forget service tonight. Young people service at 6 o'clock. And the evening service at 7. And Brother Sewell will be preaching again tonight. And Tuesday night service at 7 o'clock. On Friday. Amen. The 5th. You know this is the last day of August. And what is it? I think the 22nd of September is the first day of autumn. Fall is coming. And but on the 5th, September the 5th, that Friday night, there'll be the fellowship meeting, monthly fellowship meeting will be at Brother Lynch's Church at Faith Temple in Maryland. And then on the 19th, there'll be a special youth rally, be at the campground this time. Brother Jonathan Roberts from Richlands will be preaching that youth rally on the 19th. So remember that. And then, of course, we start our homecoming on the 21st. Praise God. So let's begin to continue praying that God will touch hearts in a special way. Are you glad to be here? Amen. Amen. I need to turn that mic down a little bit. Praise the Lord. How many of you have your Bibles this morning? Praise God. Good to see Devon and Kenny here today. Amen. And so turn with us to the book of Mark to start with this morning. And we'll probably read some other verses before we get through today. Book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8. We want to begin reading at verse 22. And perhaps we will look at this scripture setting in a little different perspective this morning. Amen. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Praise God. Well, unusual this morning. I want to talk to you from these verses of Scripture. You may be seated. I looked at these verses late last night, and I got to wondering, why did Jesus take this man out of town? We're going to talk to you not about the man this morning, but about the town. I want to talk to you about abandoned by God. Why did Jesus take this man out of town? And then he said to this man, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Now, something about this town I think that we ought to look at this morning. If you will remember that Jesus had already cursed this city. And now, when this blind man has come to him, he is refusing to even do a miracle inside the city limits. Abandoned by God. Amen. I want you to notice in that 26th verse, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. The determination of the Lord not to give Bethsaida any more evidence of a visitation of God whatsoever. What a terrible, terrible epitaph for a town to have. Is totally abandoned by God. I read these verses last night, and I want the Lord to help me this morning. I really thought at the beginning of the week that I'd probably have Brother Sewell preach this morning, but late last night when reading these verses, I felt like I needed as the pastor to preach to you today. To get a background of the city of Bethsaida, we have to go back into the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and reading there in verse 20 and down several verses here. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein, look at this, wherein most of his mighty miracles or works were done. He had performed more miracles, more mighty works in these towns than any other place he had been. Amen. But now he begins to upbraid them because that they repented not. And then he said in verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, here we are, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on that day, or on the day of judgment, than for you. Now look at this. And thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, of all cities for God to refer to, if the mighty works which was done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom. Anybody here remember Sodom? Sodom and Gomorrah? The Sodomites? Amen. If the mighty works that had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, Sodom would still be remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What a terrible sentence to pass upon any people of the world, that God would be more tolerable for Sodom than for this people that had known the power of God, had witnessed the power of God, had experienced the mighty works that he had done, more than any other geographical era of that day. Amen. And yet Jesus said it's more tolerable for the wicked sodomites on the day of judgment than for you. Amen. I read a book here some time ago now. It's been several years. I've still got it in my library at home. Amen. By Leonard Ravenhill. Sodom Had No Bible. Powerful book. Amen. And one fellow said Sodom not only had no Bible, had no hymn books. Amen. Had no Sunday schools. Had no churches. Y'all still here? Amen. A wicked, wicked place. No gospel literature. Amen. A city that was so wicked and sinful that God, amen, said enough is enough. And he come and brought and sent brimstone and fire from heaven and devoured those cities because of their wickedness. And yet God said, it will be more tolerable for them on judgment day than for you that have experienced and had the blessing and have known the power of God. Amen. And yet have not done what you know to do is right. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Amen. We can catalog. I want the Lord to help me this morning. We can catalog all the sins that we can think of. Amen. Wicked sins, lying, adultery, fornication. Amen. All the sins of the lust of the flesh. We could catalog all the sins that the Bible names. Amen. Lions. Anybody know lying is a sin? Amen. All the sins that you could imagine in the catalog of sin. Amen. And yet God put a capstone on that and said, if you know to do good and don't do it, that's a sin to you. Amen. Come on here. That's what God said. Now, amen. Let me say this morning. This city of Bethsaida. There's really been no record. We don't even know where this city of Chorazin was geographically. We know it's somewhere in that little country of Israel over there. Amen. But we do know where Bethsaida was. We do know where Capernaum was. I've been to the city, both of those towns, or at least the remains of those towns. There's nobody living there anymore. Amen. The reason is because the Lord cursed it. Amen. Amen. And let me say this morning, the more light that men have, the less excusable they are before God. Amen. The more light that you have had, amen, and have heard, amen, more accountable that we are going to be on the eternal day of God's judgment. Amen. I read in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation, and if you used to go over to verses 20 and 21, amen, even miracles and judgments will not move hardened hearts toward God. The Bible said they hardened their heart and repented not of their sins. Amen. Amen. When I read these verses last night, I come to realize that our generation in America is so gradually drifting in the same direction as these cities, amen, of the New Testament were. They had the blessing. They had the miracles. They had the mighty works. There is nothing, come on here. There is nothing that they had not seen as far as the power of God is concerned. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in bodily form walked in their streets. Healed their sick. Raised their dead. Amen. Opened the blinded eyes. Caused the lame to walk. Amen. Cleansed the lepers. They had seen it all. There was nothing they had not witnessed. Amen. But God said, woe unto you, Bethsaida. Amen. If the mighty works that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, amen, they would have repented long ago. Amen. But the hearts of this people in Bethsaida became so gospel hardened, amen, that they had no room for God. They had no time for God. Help me here. Amen. I was talking to some preacher friends last night late. Amen. And I said to them, amen, I said, why is it that some of the mightiest, most powerful preachers, I'm going to preach to y'all this morning, some of the most mighty men and mightiest and greatest preachers of our time today, amen, has turned to the mission fields, amen, to preach the gospel. Why is it that they hardly ever preach revivals in America? They have turned their attention to the foreign soil. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Men like Don Rich, amen, and Neil Bridges, and a host of others that I could talk to you about this morning. They have turned their attention to the foreign soil. Why come? Amen. And the preacher last night, amen, I felt like gave me the answer. They got tired of preaching with no response. Amen. Amen. America has seen it all. They have heard it all. They have witnessed it all. They have nothing that God has in the arsenal of glorious power and miracles that America has not seen and worshiped and witnessed. Praise God. But yet Americans, amen, even in the holiness movement, is the most difficult people to get stirred, amen, to seek the face of God, amen, than any people on the earth. Amen. Brother Rich goes to the foreign soils, to the heathens that still worship sun gods. Come on, are y'all still with me? And idol worship. Amen. And they have results by the dozens and hundreds. People are hungry to receive it. And miracles are being performed in foreign soil. But in America, it used to be so. In America, it was so. We have seen the power of God. We have witnessed the glory. We have witnessed the mighty works of God. Amen. But we are so gospel hardened. We've seen it all. We've heard it all. We've witnessed it all. But we don't have time for God. Woo! Help me here. Oh, thou Bethsaida. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Amen. Woe unto thee, Capernaum. Amen. Thou art exalted unto heaven. Amen. I read that verse. Great God, I feel a Holy Ghost here. I read that verse last night, verse 23 in Matthew 11. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom. Amen. And I looked at that. I read it again. I went to my, amen, Bible dictionary. Amen. And that word exalted means great prosperity. Amen. Capernaum had become a commercial center of activity. They had more. They had, come on here. They had more things, amen, than you could ever imagine. Hey. Could it not be so with the American church? We have more. We are prosperity. Amen. We have everything we want. everything we could imagine for. I want to tell you this morning, prosperity, amen, has never made anybody spiritual. Amen. It has always had the opposite effect. Amen. God said in thou, Capernaum, which are exalted, you have everything that you want and need. Amen. But the mighty works that were done in you, you are no longer interested in. Man, hold on here. Every one of these cities that Jesus mentioned in this 11th chapter of Matthew, every one of these cities were totally destroyed by the Romans and has never, ever been rebuilt. Huh? Amen. Oh, God help us in America. If God ever is pushed to the point where he has to write Ichabod over the doors of the church in America. Amen. God help us. We are heading for judgment day, sure as you are born. Amen. Help me here. Y'all stay with me. God said it'll be more tolerable in the day of Sodom. Amen. More tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for these cities that has had the mighty works of God. Amen. Say, saints of God, could it be that our holiness churches, amen, our people in our holiness churches are so disinterested in spiritual things, amen, that we don't have time for God, yet we have had it, we have been blessed by it, we have experienced it, we know what it is, amen, but we are so busy with things, amen, lovest thou me more than these, amen, we're so occupied, we don't have time for spiritual things. Come on here. Somebody say amen. Ah, amen. God, the church, Bible reading, and prayer is relegated to the end of the line. If we don't have anything else to do, then we'll try to make time to read our Bibles. Ah, I, as the pastor of this church, would probably be very embarrassed. Amen. If I ask for a raising of the hands, amen, this morning of my precious saints that has not read one or two chapters in the Bible this week. Amen. Come on here. I, as the pastor, might be embarrassed, amen, to ask for the raising of the hands, amen, of those that have spent, amen, 30 minutes out of a whole week of 7 days and, amen, 7 nights that has not even spent 30 minutes in prayer outside of the house of God. Amen, we don't have time. Amen, that's what God said about Capernaum. You are exalted. Amen, you have prospered. You have everything you want and need. And yet you have seen the mighty works. Amen, but you're no longer interested enough to put God first. When they got up this morning, I tell you what, I'm stirred up. Y'all can tell that, can't you? Amen. Got up this morning, Brother Wesley come upstairs, and I told him, I said, I'm going to let you rest this morning. Amen. I feel like the Lord put a message on my heart for my church people. Are y'all? I'm not talking to the First Baptist Church in Culpeper. I'm talking to Massanova. Somebody say amen here. Amen. Sis Savage looked at the preacher and said, man, he must have a scorcher for us today. Hallelujah. Oh, Could it be that we are like Bethsaida and we are like Capernaum? Hey, man, that we are exalted. We are so full of prosperity. We have everything. We don't need God. We are in, come on here. Hey, man, read in the book of Revelation chapter 3. Hey, man, about the church of Laodicea. Hey, man, are y'all still here? Hey, man, we are increased with goods. We've got everything we want, everything we need, and we have no need of nothing. What they were saying is we don't even need God. Hey, man, we've got what we want out of life. But I want to tell you, there's a judgment day coming. Amen. And amen. Believe it or not. Hey. Amen. Believe it or not this morning. Amen. There's a judgment seat of Christ for the church and the saints of God that's going to answer. Amen. For what they did in this body. Somebody said, Brother Savage, I thought judgment day was just for backsliders and sinners. I got news for you. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account for the deeds done or the deeds not done in this body. Oh, Brother Savage, you're getting rough on us. I understand. But if we don't get something, amen, to shock us, amen, into the reality that we are drifting. We are drifting along in life. We don't have time for spiritual things. We got a great testimony. We had a great revival with Brother J.R. Alexander a few years ago. And some folks are still in the church here. Amen. Because as a result of that revival, Ricky got prayed through in that revival. Brother Ben Horton got prayed through in that revival. Amen. I believe Richard might have prayed through in that revival. Help me here. Amen. We could go way on back to Larry Rogers and Bertha when they preached the revival here. Amen. Many years ago. Come on, y'all stay with me. And she'd grab that tambourine and she'd, amen, play and beat that tambourine until you think she's going to bust it wide open. And folks shouted and rejoiced and the power of God came. Amen. Is that not what was the real thing about Bethsaida and Capernaum? God said the mighty works were done in you. Amen. No need to look back to the past. We've got to look at now. Amen. Where are we at spiritually now? How many verses or chapters have you read in your Bible this whole month? Amen. What a shame. Amen. How many, amen, minutes of prayer, amen, have you spent before God agonizing for lost souls that's dying and going to hell in this last week or month? I tell you, amen, we've had it all. But God help us to be a revival, amen, church that will come to the realization we need God's help. Did you know, amen, man, I'm in trouble here this morning. Did you know that when church people get cold and indifferent in their experience with God, it is then that they start picking at each other and biting and devouring one another. Amen. And gossiping. Did y'all know gossip is a, amen, is a, I started to say ministry, but it's not a ministry. Amen. Gossip, amen, is a terrible thing that the Bible, amen, hates.
Amen. It is when we become cold and indifferent in our experience with God that the devil takes advantage and drives wedges between saints. Amen. And the people of God, and gossip and backbiting and talking. Amen. Becomes our most important fact of life. Amen. We can't wait to tell somebody what we know. Amen. About somebody else, and sometimes what you don't know. Amen. And we wonder what's going on. What's happening to our church? I'll tell you what it is. Amen. We are full of prosperity and have little desire for spiritual things. You let there be a glory to God. Help me here. You let there be a sale at Walmart at midnight madness. Man, hey man, homeless folks will jam the doors of Walmart at midnight. Hey man, to get that special sale. Come on, y'all stay with me here. Hey man, you let there be a sale on guns. Come on here, men, stay with me here. Hey man, of that precious, amen, beautiful rifle or shotgun that you've been looking at and wanting so bad, and it's on half price. Woo! Glory to God. And if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, amen, you'll set the alarm so you can get down to that gun store or sports store and get that special that you've been waiting on. There's nothing wrong with shopping at Walmart. And there's nothing wrong with buying a new gun. And there's nothing wrong in and of itself with a lot of things that have taken up our time. But when we become more interested in things than we are God and spiritual things, there's something wrong inside of our saints' hearts. In God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself refused to work a miracle inside the city limits of Bethsaida. There was a man in need, an urgent need, a blind man. Amen. He needed God's help. But God, Jesus refused, amen, to let it even be mentioned that there was a visitation, amen, of a mighty miracle inside the city limits of Bethsaida. He took him on the outside of the city, opened the man's eyes, and said, now go to your house, but don't you dare, amen, tell inside the city limits to anybody in there of what this miracle, notable miracle, has transpired to you. How come? Because the Lord, amen, has already cursed this city of Bethsaida. Amen, and said the mighty works that were done in you. Amen, you have experienced it. You have known it. Amen, you know what it's all about. I want to tell you, amen, even backsliders out of this church, there's nothing that I could tell them that they don't already know. Amen, come on here. There's cold individuals in this church that hasn't had a touch of the power of God and the Holy Ghost in their life in months and months. And there's nothing that I could tell you about God that you don't already know. How dangerous of a situation are we living in? I'm talking to you about being abandoned by God. Help me here. If you was to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 8, a shocking verse. A shocking verse. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. In the inner court. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Men, are y'all still with me? Somebody said, what's that mean? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. Amen. Between the porch on the inner court, these men were familiar with the temple. They were familiar with everything that went on in the temple. They were familiar with the altar. Come on, are y'all still with me? They were familiar. They had seen the fire burning on the altar. Amen. But now, these 25 men, amen, with their backs to God's temple and bowing and worshiping the sun. Oh, what a warning. God said, I will not even hear them. Are y'all still here? Amen. Amen. God said, even though they shout, they cry in my ears, he said, I will not listen to them. Amen. Who today, let me ask you a question this morning. Who this morning in this service is listening to the warning from God? Amen. Most people wouldn't even recognize the warning as a warning if they heard it. But they've got a deaf ear to everything that is spiritual. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. There's nothing wrong with the way I'm living. Hey, man, and the reason is because they're more interested. Are y'all still with me? Hey, man, of things materially than they are spiritual. We don't have time to pray, Brother Savage. We don't have time to read the Bible. We don't have time to go to church. Amen. It don't take much. Praise God. Boy, I'm trying to help us this morning to get us shook loose. Amen. It doesn't take much to get people's mind away from God's altar. Amen. These men, amen, in Ezekiel chapter 8, amen, they knew about the altar of God. They were standing on the porch of the temple. Amen. They were in the nigh unto the presence of the power of God that was just inside those doors that they have turned their back to. Amen. The power of God was in there. They knew all about that. Amen. But something has got their attention away from spiritual things. Amen. And other things has got them. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Drill toward the world and the world crowd. Amen. Ezekiel, great God, wrote or preached 2,600 years ago. Amen. But if we change the names and places of things, and Ezekiel could stand in the midst of our churches in America today and say the same words, amen, perhaps it would be the same results. We hear you, but we don't hear you. Amen. Amen. Praise God, Brother Savage, you're just picking on us. You're just, hey man, come on here. Hey man, a preacher can hardly say anything or preach anything anymore without people getting their feelings hurt. Crossways. Hey man, you try to talk to them and counsel with them. You need to do this better. Hey man, and they get miffed. Boy, am I doing all right this morning. Hey man, they get the hackles up on the back. And the first thing you know, they're church hopping. They want to go somewhere else. It don't take much. Come on here. Amen. You let a gossiper, amen, tell something, amen, and they'll quit God. They'll quit the church. They'll leave the altar. Hey, amen, could it be that we are like Bethsaida? We've had it all. Somebody say amen. Micah chapter 3 and verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. I want to tell you, America, the wholeness movement in America has got to have revival at the altar of prayer and crucify your own feelings, deny yourself. Am I preaching all right this morning? Amen. Until you get to the place that the gossiper's tongue has no effect upon your experience with God. Amen. If people lie on you, amen, you got your face set like a flint. I know better. I know God knows better. Come on, somebody say amen. And I'll just go on for God in spite of the devil and Tom Walker, whoever he is. Amen. You got to get something made up in your mind that you going to live for God. You're going to pray. Somebody said, Brother Savage, I don't have time. If you're going to pray, you've got to make time. You're not going to have convenient time to pray. You're going to have to make yourself pray. And if it's been a long time since you got alone with God, amen, in the woods or your shop or your bedroom, amen, somewhere, if it's been a long time since you had that experience with God, you have even forgotten how to pray. Amen. And you're going to have to learn all over again. And the less you pray, the less you want to pray. And the more you pray, the more you want to pray. God help us. And we don't become abandoned by God. And these people, amen, Micah said, they shall cry unto me, but I'll not answer them. Amen. Oh God, we have had Massanova Pentecostal Church. I've been here 33 years as pastor. We have had some of the mightiest and greatest revivals I have ever witnessed in my life. But I want to tell you, we cannot rely on yesterday's experience. Amen. Bethsaida and Chorazin. Amen. And Capernaum had all had the mighty works of God. But now, they have no interest. They're like the men who turned their backs toward the temple. Just the other side of those doors is the Shekinah glory of God that fell just a little while ago. But now they're standing on the porch looking over the altar higher and ignoring the altar. Amen. And they're looking and worshiping a sun god. Amen. And that's the way American church world is going quickly. We're not worshiping that ball of fire out there in the universe that's 93 million miles away. But we've got things in our lives that we feel like is more important than spiritual things. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Could it be that the book of Proverbs is made complete circle, full circle, and come around? Amen. In verse 24 of chapter 1, because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out mine hand and no man regarded. Come on here. Because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out mine hand and no man regarded. I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction as a whirlwind. And then he said, then you shall call upon the Lord, but I will not answer. Amen. Hey, Bethsaida! Amen. The mighty works of God's been done to you. Amen. You have witnessed the power of God. You have seen His miracles. Amen. He's walked in your streets. He's been in your house, saints of God. Amen. But now we've got other things that we're looking beyond the altar, and we see something that is more vitally important to us than the altar or the presence of God that's on the other side of those doors. We are preoccupied with things. We are prospered. We got more things than you, amen, can shake a stick at. Come on here. There is nothing wrong. Amen. I'm preaching to y'all this morning. There's nothing wrong with a nice house and a good roof. There's nothing wrong with, amen, food in the pantry, in the refrigerator, in the deep freeze full. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with driving a new automobile. Come on, y'all still with me. Amen. Having designer clothes, if that's what you like or can't afford, don't go in debt for it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with any of these things of life. But when they become more important to us, and making another dollar is more important, amen, than praying and reading the Bible and seeking the face of God and going to the house of the Lord, amen, we are in spiritual trouble. Spiritually bankrupt. Man, man. The Lord Jesus in this book of Mark, the Lord Jesus saw this blind man. Oh God, he needed to be healed, and Jesus wanted to heal him. He really did, and he did heal him. Jesus wanted to heal this blind man. But he said, amen. Did you know the Bible said that Jesus could not do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief? Amen. Jesus took this blind man outside of the city. Amen. And touched his eyes and healed him. Amen. With two touches of the Master's hand, he saw men as men. Praise God, a notable miracle in the Bible that I have preached from and about for probably dozens, if not hundreds of times through my life as a preacher. Amen. But when I read these verses last night, I realized that Jesus would not even allow the reputation of Bethsaida, amen, to be changed. He said, I'll perform a miracle and I'll heal this blind man. Amen. But it's not going to be inside the walls of this city. That you have had the blessing, you have seen the mighty works, and I'll not give you the honor and the privilege of healing another sick man inside of your walls. Oh God, give us a revival, amen, that we'll have a desire. Oh God, visit us again, whatever it takes.
I got a book at home by Charles G. Finney. Not many of y'all going to be able to take this. Amen. Revivals of Religion. And he said, I forget what chapter it was, and he was right. Charles G. Finney has had some powerful revivals in America and England in his day. I mean, mighty thousands of people turned out and prayed and sought the face of God. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And Charles G. Finney said, until we get willing to pay any price for revival, we will never have a revival. He went on to say, until you're willing to shove back the plate, amen, come on here, at the table and ready to fast and seek the face of God for revival in your home, revival will never come to your home. Amen. Come on here. He went on to say, amen, he is talking to his businessmen in the church where he was pastoring. Amen. He said, until you, brethren, amen, are willing and ready to shut the
shop doors, amen, and head for the house of God and pray until God rings revival in your individual soul. He said, this church will never have a revival. Amen. And I can echo that. Amen. In America, church world today, even in our holiness movement, until we are willing to fast and we are willing to pray and we are willing to seek the face of God and we are willing to go to the house of God, shut her down, brother. We've got to have a revival. And until we are willing to do that, we will never experience that move of God. Somebody say amen. Man, Brother Savage, you're about to make me mad. Good. Maybe you'll get mad enough to do something about it. There's a lady in the church in Leesburg, Virginia, in the early 1950s, where my father pastored. And she'd been, amen, wanting the Holy Ghost. She'd been wanting the Holy Ghost. Every time she'd go to church, she'd testify about wanting the Holy Ghost. And one time, Daddy got tired of that. Amen. You have to know my daddy. He's a very blunt man. He didn't mince his words. Amen. And he looked at her after church one night and said, called her by name, said, Sister McDonald. That was her name. Amen. Said, you don't want the Holy Ghost. She said, why, Brother Savage, you hurt my feelings. I do want the Holy Ghost. I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 20 years. He said, sister, you don't want the Holy Ghost. She's getting red in the face. I was just a young boy. I mean, she's getting redder by the minute. She said, I guess I ought to know what I want. Daddy said, now, sister, if you wanted a new dress that you saw in a department store, and they didn't have no Walmarts or a Kmarts in those days. Amen. If you wanted a new dress that you saw in that store, you would hound your husband 24/7. Or else you'd take in sewings. Amen. Are y'all still with me? And ironings until you gathered up enough money to go buy that dress if you really wanted it, wouldn't you? She turned around, stomped out red-faced and mad. She went home and said, I guess I'll show that preacher I do want the Holy Ghost. And she went home. Amen. She stayed up all night. She went to her sewing room. And she prayed. She prayed for 2.5-3 hours. Until she got victory over getting mad at the preacher. Praise God. Are y'all still with me? She had to come back and apologize. Amen. 2.5 or 3 hours she prayed until she got victory. Amen. And repented of getting mad at the preacher. Come on. That's a good place to start. Hallelujah. Amen. And then she prayed till daylight. Amen. After that, praying through about getting mad at the preacher, she prayed on till daylight. And about daylight, her husband had already got up and gone to the barn to milk cows. And he heard a commotion in the house. Amen. He left the cows milking. Amen. To run to see what was going on. And Sister McDonald, amen, was having a Holy Ghost spell in the sewing room. Praise God. It shouted all over the house. Amen. Knocked things over. And when he come in the door, he heard her speaking in tongues. Praise God. I want to tell you, if you want God bad enough and you want God sincere enough, amen, you will pay whatever the price is, amen, to have a revival in your heart, your home, and your soul, and in your church. Amen. God wants to do it, but he's waiting on us. God, I pray, God, don't abandon us. Don't abandon us. Don't leave us. Oh God. Oh God. I sense that the Holy Spirit of God is in this place. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that can truly and honestly say, I've got to have another outpouring in my life. I see myself, the savage. I see myself, I really do. And you'll never, never, never have a revival until you see your own heart's need. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And Brother Savage, you don't know what's happened, and you don't know what's been said, and you don't know how I've been treated. I want to tell you something this morning. This may come as a shock and surprise to some of y'all, but there's nothing that you have heard or experienced that this pastor has not been through pastoring this church. There's been enough lies told on me and this church. Amen. To sink a battleship. If lies will sink a battleship. But I determined years ago when gossip went all over the, amen, Eileen sowing plant about things that were not true about me and my wife. I determined then I'll live good enough, long enough. And I'll outlive the lie. And amen, my life will serve as a beacon for somebody in a dark world that Jesus Christ is still real. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Hear me. Am I preaching all right this morning? Don't tell me the thing that what people say and do is a stumbling block. Amen to you. Don't tell me that what somebody else is living. Amen. It stopped your spiritual progress. If it is, they are closer to God than you are. Amen. If they're between you and God, they're closer to God than you are. Amen. You need a revival. You need to get a hold of God. You need to get your knees on the floor. Amen. And your nose in God's book. And say, God, whatever it takes, whatever I have to do, whatever, oh God, whatever I have to surrender, whatever I have to give up, whatever I have to live over or live down, I want to go on for God. Sweet Holy Ghost. Everybody stand. If I've hurt your feelings this morning and I've stomped on your toes, now there's one of two things you can do. You can go out those doors and say, I ain't going back no more. That's possible. And you can do it, and God will let you do it. Or else you can get your knees on the floor at this altar and say, God, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I preach my heart out this morning. Ah! I don't want this church to be abandoned by God and be a used to and a has been of the past generation. We've got to have a walk of the Spirit of God and a walk with God now. I'm getting ready to call us in the altar. I preached the funeral of probably 40 people out of this church since I've been here. I could name them. Amen. One by one. I won't take the time because all of you that are here this morning, most of you anyhow, know who they are. They've died in the faith and gone on to their reward and glory. Amen. But to most of those blessed saints, I was their favorite preacher. They loved me. Help me here. Amen. I couldn't tell you the number of times recently, amen, that I have really seriously thought and considered turning this church over to somebody else and going to another field and vineyard for God. There are times when I feel like that my ministry is no longer effective because we have had the blessing, we have had the power, but we're not interested in spiritual things. I think sometimes that I belong to the past generation. And I could call their names and you'd know, and some of you would remember that when it came revival time, it came church time, it didn't matter if it was hell or high water, they was going to church. It didn't matter if they was, amen, working in the sod field down Manassas, amen, they shut her down when they could have made another dollar. I'm preaching this morning. They could have made more money and been more affluent in life and helped their status in life. But they shut her down and said, our church is in revival. We need to be there. Oh, and when it came time to pray in the altars, praise God, you didn't see them lingering around, amen, at the back and kneeling in a seat somewhere so nobody wouldn't bother them, amen, about spiritual things of praying through. Amen. They've made their way to the altars, and many times they would shout around the altar during the altar service, and the glory of God, amen, would fill their soul. Help me here. I want to tell you, oh God, we've got to have revival in Massanova. I ain't preaching to the Baptist church. I ain't preaching to the Methodist church. I'm not even preaching to the Amosville Full Gospel Church. I'm talking to us in, amen, Massanova this morning. Amen. If we don't have a revival in your heart, amen, we will be like Bethsaida and Chorazin. Amen. We'll be like Capernaum that has had the mighty works of God. And we can only talk about yesteryear and yesterday because we've got too many irons in the fire. Anybody want to pray? Altar's open. I probably preached too long this morning, but I've delivered my soul.